Oh, my. Brian Noonan for Rowanana. Sam ran out, came back with a whole crate full of beverages. I don't know what you're trying to do. Krista, our fine engineer, was wondering if you're trying to get me drunk. Advantage of me. I don't know how that goes.
Well, I told you. See, I was here last Friday, and I thought you were
Christmas
here.
Day?
No, I'm sorry. Actually, no, not last Friday. Last Thursday.
Wednesday or Thursday.
The
yeah.
days
One
have started
days,
to run together. And I
holidays,
said, hey, guess what? I got a present for after the show. And you said, well, I'm not here.
Right.
So now I felt like I had to reimburse.
Oh, well, thank you. That's going to be fun. Well, I'm sure by 7 o'clock, let's you know what we do? We have a couple cocktails, and then we try to have the psychic read us when we're altered. And see if the readings are completely different.
I actually brought back a Sharpie, too, so you just make a tally on your forearm.
Oh, for drinks?
You just count. Make sure you don't get out of hand.
You know what? Had we known, we could have done one of those old – did you ever see the old WKRP in Cincinnati episode where they try – it was going to be New Year's Eve, and they were going to, on the air, drink, and the state trooper was going to be there and see how much they could drink before they got drunk. And I think it was Johnny Fever. The more he drank, the more sober he was, and the quicker he passed the tests. So maybe we could have done that. We were talking about resolutions. Did you make any resolutions?
No,
are you a
I don't
resolution
believe in
guy?
It. No, I stopped doing it about 2 years ago.
Yeah,
just because I'd only meet about 50% of them.
And then it gets depressing, doesn't it? Discouraging.
And sometimes you get one out of four, and you're like, oh, was it really that bad of a year? No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. But you know, sometimes you end up focusing on one. Or I'm not a resolution guy either. Because back when I was younger, I would try to make them, and I would make them just because I thought I had to, and then by July or January 2nd, I had forgotten what I had even resolved. So it wasn't bad. But now I feel that I have to start believing in New Year's resolutions because Kim Kardashian does not believe in New Year's resolutions. Mm. And I don't want to pattern myself in any way in Kim Kardashian. She does set goals for herself, though. That's where she's different than us, Sam.
Stay married?
To stay married, that might be one. To not buy her kid a $3,500 coat. You see that? And I don't know why that sticks in my head, but I saw this story this morning. Northwest had a $3,500 parka. And I guess if your parents are...
To try and break the internet?
Is that the goal, to break the internet? It might be.
One of those famous photo shoots of hers.
She's already done it. She doesn't need to have that goal anymore.
Oh, okay.
She's already broken the internet. And the seam of her pants, obviously. That's why... That's why she was out there. To be honest, she says, I'm not really into New Year's resolutions. I've done them before, but I don't believe in them. For some people, they are a good jumping off point, but for me, I like to set goals throughout the year. What's the difference? I think setting little goals every month is productive, and long-term goals like saving money or learning a new language are important, too. I wonder how many languages Kim Kardashian knows. And I know I'm sniping, but I don't think she really even knows English that well, does she?
Maybe you are feeding right now into the Kardashian beast.
Well,
you don't watch it, but we talk about it.
Well, we're not talking about it anymore. I've thrown out the paper. I've tossed it away, Sam. You're right. Why should I feed the beast?
That's the problem.
All right. We have to talk. We were talking about Chi-Town Rising, and I mentioned that Chicago was there, the band, and we didn't get into the performance. And then we got a text from our friend George Bliss, and he said, listen, he talked to the guys from Chicago, or he knows the guys from Chicago, and he said that they admitted that they were out of tune. And I didn't want to bring that up because people were already saying I was being petty and critical of Chi-Town Rising. But you know what? That's my job, to look at things and comment and get your feedback on them as well. And it broke my heart that when Chicago started playing, I thought, oh, they don't sound very good. And I love Chicago. And I wanted that. So that's why I didn't bring it up, because it was one of those things where, you know, say you went to see, I don't know, pick your favorite athlete. Say you went to see Michael Jordan play one night. And he was just awful that night. You would still want him to. You wouldn't bring it up because he's done so well in the past, and he will do so well in the future that you go, okay, everybody has an off night. So that's kind of what I was giving Chicago. Plus, they were trying to play horns, and it's 15 degrees, and their lips are cold, and the ligatures on the horn. It's a bad setup for horn players.
Not to mention all the obnoxious people causing scenes and making noise in the background.
And Lopez is there near them, just being skeevy.
Did he have enough hair gel in? I wasn't sure.
Mario Lopez was coiffed. He was well coiffed.
Did he have enough hair product in?
I think so. I didn't see it.
Was it frozen hair product by that point?
No.
It looked all natural.
He's
but it
ahead of
move.
The game.
This from the bald guy, okay? I'm sorry. I couldn't help it.
I don't use any hair product either. I'm not too far from you, David, but I did notice he – and that was his – I didn't realize that was his wife that was co-hosting with him. That was his. I read that today in some of the reviews that that was his wife, along with Akbar and Nasal Jones. And Akbar is his real name.
No, it's Nasal Jones.
Nasal Jones is the woman. I didn't catch her name. She's the dancer from over.
Of the two names, I would have thought Nasal would be the real name, not Akbar.
Yeah, no, Nasal Jones is the real name. Akbar, I just made up. No, every time they said Akbar, I went, "Are they? Is this no?" But that was they never said his last name, so maybe he's like Cher or Madonna. He's just Akbar. But I had no idea who Akbar was. I didn't know who anybody was. I know Mario Lopez hosts, what is it, Extra or one of those magazine shows, Hollywood magazine shows, that feed the Kardashian beast, Sam,
that you don't want
to do.
That's the problem.
Well, what do you want me to do? Ignore it? Sure.
Yeah.
All right, I'll ignore it. So anyway, Chicago was bad and off-key. That's what that's – and it's true. You know what? They were bad and off-key, but in my mind I justified it by saying, well, at least they're not lip-syncing. They were actually performing. Because nobody would lip sync that bad. It had to be live. And they were doing it. So I gave them credit. And again, I look at the instruments they were playing in that weather outside. I give them the break. On the other side of the news, did you know that your Illinois driver's license may not work at the airport in a couple of weeks? Well, we'll get into it. Happy New Year. It's Brian Noonan for Rokan and Anna DeVellantes. Ro and Anna will be back on Monday after their well-deserved holiday break. It's been fun sitting in for them all week. Hope you are having a wonderful New Year's Day. A lot of traffic outside the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. People bundled up. They're wandering around enjoying their New Year's Day. After the 4:30 news, we're going to talk to author Gary Patterson, and he is the author of Rock and Roll Myths and Legends. We're going to talk about some crazy rock and roll myths, the 27 Club, if you haven't heard about that. A lot of fun stuff after 4:30. Here's something, though, that may not be fun for those of us in Illinois, Missouri, and a couple other states after January 10th. You may have heard some of it. I know, Sam, you talked about this the other night briefly. You were on with Hannah Stanley, and you guys touched on this. And I've been trying to do more research. We've reached out to TSA. We reached out to the Secretary of State. We've reached out to a number of people. Couldn't get anybody on. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's the Real ID Act, which was passed in 2005. It was enacted by the 9/11 Commission's recommendation that the federal government set standards for the issuance of sources of identification, such as driver's licenses. So, long story short, some states have complied with this, which means they have to be more strict when issuing driver's licenses. They have to really look at where people were born, where they're from, that kind of thing. Those driver's licenses in those states will be able to be used when you want to travel and if you're going into some restricted space. Other states, like Illinois, have been dragging their feet for any number of reasons, some because there's been arguments over privacy issues, things like that, arguments that you're trying to create a national ID card, which people don't want, because some of the information on these secure driver's licenses will be saved in a national database. Illinois has already gotten one extension. That extension has expired. On January 10th, Illinois and a number of other states are in danger of this act being enforced. The act, as I said, an act established minimum standards for license issuance and production and prohibits federal agencies from accepting for certain purposes driver's license and identification cards from states not meeting the act's minimum standards. The purposes covered by the act are accessing federal facilities, entering nuclear power plants, which most of us don't have to worry about. You, Sam, like to go to nuclear power plants
or,
on vacation.
Or going into a federal, like the federal building.
Yes, I haven't. I haven't finished.
Okay.
I haven't finished.
Which could get to be entertaining. Listen, IRS, I can't come see you.
Right.
Why? They won't let me in.
And here are the restricted areas. There's four phases of restricted areas. Places with restricted access, such as areas accessible by agency personnel, contractors, and their guests for DHS's things like that. Restricted areas for all federal facilities and nuclear power plants, semi-restricted areas, which are areas available to the general public but subject to ID-based access or control. That's for most federal facilities, subject to limitations. Access to federal facilities will continue to be allowed for purposes of applying for or receiving federal benefits, which is good. And then the one that affects almost all of us, phase four, boarding federally regulated commercial aircraft. Now, that is where the federal government holds leverage over the states that still have not complied, because they can say, the states are saying, listen, our people aren't going into nuclear power plants. So they don't go into restricted federal areas for the most part, the ones that do have that kind of clearance. But most of us at some point will go to an airport and try to get on a plane. And unless Illinois falls in line, we're not going to be able to do that. Now, you will be able to use, if you have a passport, you'll be able to use that if you go to the airport. But a lot of people don't have passports. They just travel, you know, in the United States. They don't travel abroad. They may not have a passport. You're not going to be able to do it. Privacy experts, civil liberty organizations, and libertarian groups are saying that the new law would create something like a national identification card, which I mentioned. Federal and state officials have been arguing for years about the merits of the law. The biggest leverage, as I said, is commercial air travel. Department of Homeland Security said it would provide a schedule by the end of the year for when airport screeners would start accepting only driver's licenses that complied with federal standards. Again, right now, it could be January 10th. That's according to the government website. January 10th is when the extension that Illinois had expires, and that's when we could all be in trouble.
This is out of our hands. This is the state's fault.
Right. It is the state's fault. And they're saying it, you know, states are saying, one, it's a cost thing. Two, they're hiding behind the privacy thing. Missouri's lieutenant governor has come out really, really strong against this. Missouri has been one of the states that has been the most vocal about not following the Real ID Act. And his statement said, this is the Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder of Missouri. He issued this statement the other day, quote, "The real-world implications of a nationalized ID system with biometric photo data that allows for long-distance identification and tracking of residents is disturbing. That's why in 2009, the Missouri General Assembly passed House Bill 361 to stand athwart the federal government's continued encroachment of Missourians' liberties. That bill passed by a vote of 83-69 in the Missouri House, unanimously in the Senate, and was signed into law by Governor Jay Nixon. Kinder and Homeland Security is now disregarding Missouri law in violation of the 10th Amendment to the Constitution. In its letter to states, Homeland Security wrote, quote, as we continue the phased-in enforcement of the Real ID Act, the consequences of continued noncompliance will grow with each milestone. And then Kinder said, that's an overt threat, to which I would say to the federal government, we in Missouri are not interested in compliance with this kind of federal overreach. All right. Now, we all know that the old saying, I think it was Thomas Jefferson, if you give up liberty for security, you deserve neither. And I'm paraphrasing, but that's the gist of it. Are we willing to have what could be considered a national ID? Because, as I said, some of this information will be kept in a central location. Well, I know a lot of people are saying, well, I don't have anything to hide. I'm a U.S. citizen. I'm not doing anything illegal. That's fine. Here's all that's needed. Here's all that the state has to do to get in compliance. All Illinois would have to do when issuing their driver's license, and it doesn't sound like a lot. It requires applicants to provide documents to prove their identity, social security number, and immigration status to the United States. Okay. Again, that doesn't sound hard. The new licenses would have to have one of those, either a magnetic strip or one of the chips like are coming out in the new credit cards so they can be read. The information will eventually be shared through a system administered by the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators, a private group that provides support services to state motor vehicle departments. A press officer at the Department of Homeland Security said the law's intention was not to create a national identification card, but to extend what the agency calls best practices on issuing driver's licenses that apply to all states. So, do you believe that? Do you believe that the government is trying to collect data to keep in one central database? Or are we just trying to make the system universal throughout the 50 states? If my driver's license in Illinois is one way, and the driver's licenses in Indiana are another way, and Wisconsin and Michigan, and everybody's different, how do we, you know, how do we know who's giving out driver's licenses? And how do we know who's getting driver's licenses?
The Tribune reported that the Illinois Secretary of State spokesman said that this would cost Illinois, which is already in a financial problem, right? I mean,
right. Yeah,
budget,
we got no money.
Budget is a concern. It would cost Illinois $50 to $60 million over 4 years. On the other side of that coin, though, Homeland Security said that Illinois has not provided adequate justification to receive any more compliance, and that they've already been given two extensions.
Yes, we've had extensions, and we knew this was coming. So,
did you think the government was going to just forget about it?
Yeah, well, there's 50 states. We'll get lost in the shuffle somehow. Missouri's making a lot of noise. They're going to pay attention to Missouri first, and then they'll pay attention to us. Now, as I mentioned, we reached out, and by we, I mean Shanta, because she was working hard on this, because she believes, as I do, that this story has been underreported. And you may show up, we don't know for sure, but you may show up at the airport on January 11th and not be able to travel. So we got to figure out what's going on. We have a statement from Homeland Security, and we've been given authorization to use this person's name. I will share that statement with you, but I want to get your thoughts on this. 312-981-7200. Are you siding with the people of Missouri and the government of Missouri that is saying, listen, this is an overreach by the government. I don't want my data in a central database. But let's be honest, the government has all your data. If you file taxes, they have your data. If you go to the hospital, we have your information is out there. Does it make a difference if it's on your driver's license as well? Or do you think it's about time we start overseeing all the states to figure out who's getting driver's licenses? And, you know, you look at Paris, you look at other attacks, and you say, well, you know, maybe we have to do this. 312-981-7200. I'll hear from you on the other side. It's WGN. Brian Noonan in for Ro Khan. We're talking about the Real ID Act and the chance that as of January 10th, the Department of Homeland Security could restrict airline travel to states, Illinois being one of them, that have not gotten their driver's license up to snuff. We got a statement from Amanda DeGroff, a DHS spokesperson. The Department of Homeland Security is working with state officials to ensure their compliance with Real ID Act standards and to grant a state an extension where warranted. Illinois has not yet provided adequate justification to receive an extension on compliance with the requirements of the Real ID Act passed by Congress in 2005. As of October 10, 2015, federal agencies may only accept driver's licenses and identification cards issued by the states that are compliant with the Real ID Act or have an extension for accessing most federal facilities, including military bases and entering nuclear power plants. Starting on January 10, 2016, driver's licenses and identification cards issued by Illinois will not be accepted for these purposes. Illinois residents visiting a federal facility can provide another form of identification or follow procedures that the facility allows for persons without acceptable identification. Illinois can request an extension at any time if there are new developments or additional relevant information regarding the steps they are taking to comply with the Real ID Act requirement. Again, that is from Amanda DeGroff, who is a Department of Homeland Security spokesperson. Now, Jesse White sent a letter to the Tribune yesterday. You would think he would send it on a day where people are paying attention. New Year's Eve, not really the day. But he was responding to a December 30th editorial which addressed recent decision by the Department of Homeland Security to deny Illinois' request for a one-year extension to the Real ID Act. This is from the Secretary of State's letter to the Tribune. DHS's decision is misguided and short-sighted. DHS has been inconsistent in developing a national implementation plan, altering the requirements and changing timelines since the law was implemented a decade ago. While we strongly disagree with DHS's decision, we will continue to work with DHS on Illinois' status and with the General Assembly to resolve this in a manner that best serves the public. As we repeatedly pointed out to DHS, Illinois has or will soon meet 84% of the requirements of the Real ID Act, including manufacturing driver's licenses and identification cards that meet or exceed the standards for security and utilizing a biometric identification process. All right, you've heard from DHS. You've heard from the Secretary of State. What do you think? 312-981-7200. Hi, Scott. You're on WGN.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, you know. We have the right to travel. It's granted by God, and they're telling us, they're granting us the ability to travel. it's unconstitutional.
Well, they're giving you the right to travel on federally restricted aircraft. If you want to drive or take the bus or take the train, you can travel wherever you want. They're just saying the federal government regulates the airlines and air travel, and so they're saying that's where
the next restriction, we'll be traveling state to state. We will need a federal ID to drive. They've done this in every area. Look at the Native Americans. What happened to their way of life? The government didn't take care of them.
Well, you
still take care of us.
You still need a government issued document to drive.
Yeah,
and you need a government issued ID if you're out and you're asked by law enforcement, you know, for ID. You have to. We all have to carry ID.
Technically, no. I had a cop tell me, like, you don't technically, what law says you have to have it with you? It's all about the law, and if they interpret the law a certain way, the way they want to, not a way that benefits us, it benefits them, and they profit. Dangerous.
All right, Scott, thank you for the call. Let's say hi to Pat. What's up, Pat?
Well, I have a couple things to say about it. Number one, I think the U.S. government needs to keep their nose out of my business. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I don't even have a speeding ticket, number one. Number two, the state of Illinois can't even figure out their damn budget. How are they supposed to implement extra millions of dollars? That's point number two. Number three, what? They can't even clean up the graft with people having more than one Social Security number. The minute the government puts their hands into something, it's more of a mess than it was when they even started. And as far as Homeland Security goes, you know what? I hate to say this. I'm not saying they're not doing a good job, but you get a maniac in control, and they're going to find a way to circumvent every effort that we make.
Oh, well, yeah. There's always somebody who is looking to beat the system, and we can take all the precautions we want, but somebody will always slip through.
Yeah, I think this having a certain kind of driver's license or an ID is ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Well, Pat, thanks for the call. Happy New Year. We'll get to some more. Kevin has been holding on. Hi, Kevin. You're on WGN.
Hey, flip side to this, as a business traveler, more security the better. Nothing's happened since 9/11. Instead of putting the burden on the state, put it on the traveler. Go get a travel ID, a federal mandated travel ID. You want to travel between states, you pay for it and get it done. I personally have a KTN number, a known traveler number that's available. Went out and got fingerprinted so I could go to the shorter security lines. So there's a spin.
And you're right, Kevin. Thank you for the call. There is that way you can get pre-approved so you don't have to wait in the TSA lines and all of that. And again, it's not restricting travel. This isn't going to be like the old movies where they stop you at the border of Indiana and go, let me see your papers. It's not like that. They're basically saying that, listen, if you want to travel by air, which is federally regulated, your state has to have a stricter driver's license. So that what they're saying is, and we could debate it all day, they're saying, listen, we want to make sure people who are getting driver's licenses should get driver's licenses, and that they are citizens, and that we're giving government IDs to the right people. That's I think what's going on here. Susan's been hanging on. Hi, Susan. Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you. Well, first of all, I'm surprised I haven't heard this story, because you'd think the airlines would be the ones who would be very, really complaining, because there's so many people. I'm 65 years old. I have my driver's license, but I also have my Social Security card and my Medicare card, which are, you know, federally issued IDs. But you think that the airlines could lose a tremendous amount of travel, and that they would be, you know, if I can't fly to Detroit to visit my relatives, you know, in the middle of January because of this law, you think that I would have heard about this, because the airlines could lose an incredible amount of travel. A lot of people that travel are people that don't have, you know, anything other than a driver's license or whatever.
Right. A lot of people don't have passports.
Well, I don't have a passport.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
In fact, nowadays, I guess you have to have a passport just to go to Canada. For Pete's sakes, I grew up in Detroit. We used to go to Windsor just for lunch.
Right.
You know, and go buy dishes or something like that. But I'm surprised the airlines haven't really complained, because they stand to lose an incredible amount of travel revenue. And it'd be great for Amtrak. you know, it could really up the Amtrak revenues. But
well, it's going to be one of those things. I think once the government decides that the time has come for them to start enforcing it, then you'll start hearing from the airlines. Because you're right, once it hits them in the pocketbook, that's when things always start to change. Happy New Year,
There's
Susan.
A lot of older. Well, thank you. Happy New
Take
Year.
Take care.
To you.
You too. Let's one more before we go to news. That's from Ann. Hi, Ann. Got a couple seconds.
Just one, two things. I believe there should be government control over people in the sense of IDs and that. And I'm also tired of people who are glad to be citizens of America, but then complain all the time about that they don't want to do this, they don't want to do that, they don't want to do this, and separate states also. So
yeah, well, people don't like being told what to do, Ann. Thank you for the call. Happy New Year.